I'm on the beach at Clye in North Norfolk. It's raining a little bit, it's very windy. It's a grey sea under a grey sky, and then these banks of shingle, and then beyond that, the flat salt marsh and the village itself. And I'm here with David Barnes from the British Antarctic Survey. We've been looking for plastics, which frankly isn't difficult on your average tide line. And David, you're interested in plastics not just because they're a pain and it's a shame to see them, and you've seen them in Antarctica, but the fact that they transport things around the world.
People have been interested in the impact of plastics travelling on the ocean for a variety of reasons. Seabirds swallow them, and so they can get lodged in the stomach, and therefore animals starve because their stomachs are full of these things they can't get rid of. They're interested because they can transport poisons around, but the thing I'm really interested in is that they actually transport whole animals around, from the size of iguanas in the Caribbean to tiny organisms that you need a microscope to see. And I work on the sort of the animals in between, the sort of thumbnail sized things, and we can see quite a few of these, even on the piece that I'm just holding that we've just found.
So this is a small bit of twine, really, orange. Well, I suppose it's like baler twine, isn't it? But you've got on this bit, you've got the sort of coming apart a little bit. You've got some life on here. What have you got?
Okay, so we've got a few things here. There's three species of hydroids. So these are animals that are a bit like anemones, but in miniature, and they've all been joined together, so they're colonial.
Also almost look like little strands of grass sticking up from the rope.
Yeah, I don't think I'd want to call it grass. Much more interesting than that. Yeah, like grass, but with lots of little jaggedy bits that all the polyps, the animals that come out, feed and they eat plankton. But it illustrates just that even this tiny bit is carrying quite a diversity of animals, and not all of these might be native to the area that we're in.
And you found plastics even around the coast of Antarctica, again with life on it, and that's not something that would normally happen. There aren't any trees, there aren't any logs, there aren't the sort of things that would normally carry things around.
Yeah, for this part of the world and for much of the world, life does transport naturally anyway on the surface of the ocean, either attached to floating logs or seed pods or things like coconuts. But Antarctica doesn't have any of those things. So it's introduced a whole new environment and transport possibility. And as you say, yes, we have found plastics with life that seems to survive more than a year, and that can spew out larvae to recolonise new places. Now, in that instance, they were native Antarctic animals, but it does demonstrate that it's possible to travel even in the freezing surface waters of Antarctica, and so that new animals can get in, and that would be a major problem. It's the last frontier, the only place where alien, that is, non-indigenous animals have yet to be found established, and this is a major route they could do it.
Let's just tally up then what we've found, just walking along the shore here. We've got a plastic spoon, a piece of a plastic bag, there's a drinking straw over there, piece of what looks like, I don't know, the filler from cavity walls, sort of insulation, sort of spongy stuff. You've got a bottle top there, piece of string, cable tie, an awful lot of plastic out there. If this is just a snapshot of the sort of stuff that's on the oceans.
Yeah, a real diversity of things in shape, size and durability. Actually, not the things I was most expecting to see, things like cigarette lighters and flip-flops and pen tops. Biros tend to be the most usual suspects, but certainly a lot of common appliances that would be very familiar to people. And some of these, yeah, are carrying life even just right here.
Well, let's get out of the rain. David Barnes, thank you very much.